Thank you, Viola, for leading us in those songs. Welcome to all of you to this second Sunday of Advent. Advent means coming, the coming of the Messiah, the anointed one, the awaited one. So we come to worship to further anticipate the coming of the Messiah among us and what this means for us. We come as fellow brothers and sisters from near and farther away. We come from our work, our homes, our regular routines to gather together here to worship. And we come as we are, sometimes fearful, sometimes joyful, expectant, and wondering. Sometimes perhaps feeling desperate, questioning, anxious, or disturbed. We come because we are welcomed here by our Lord to rediscover something beyond ourselves. We come to share the welcome of our Lord and those around us. So as you're able, I would ask that we would stand and greet those around us. Let's welcome each other here. Let's do that. Just a few announcements for this morning. We're grateful that Mark Miller has been able to come home from the hospital, and he's here with us this morning. Welcome here, Mark. It's good to see you. Tomorrow, December 5th, is an important appointment for Tenley. We want to see if those blood counts have changed, if they're high enough for her to come out of isolation. We would really pray that that would be the case. Yes, update. Oh, she did. Oh. Oh, yeah. Just wondering if all of you heard. Angie was saying that she had her blood count on Friday. The counts were good. They looked very much improved. So she was out of isolation. She was here this morning for Sunday school and is going to a family gathering this afternoon. And tonight she's going where? Okay. Okay. Yeah, I'm sure, yeah. She's out of isolation, is going to be going places and doing things. That's so good to hear. Thank you. 24-hour prayer vigil for Monday, tomorrow, December 5th. Clubs on Wednesday, starts at 7. And a thank you note there from Mark and Lori. Also some very good news from, remember my niece some time ago when she had that really tragic head-on collision and the doctors eventually told her that people in your situation are very, very fortunate to be alive. And she spent many, many weeks in the hospital just on her back because she was unable to move, unable to put any weight at all because of the break in her vertebrae and her pelvis. She is actually home right now. She's been able to come home. She's got a lot of rehab to go. She's going to have a long journey yet, but she is actually able to come home and do other things from there. So the family was very, very happy for her to find her way home, and we appreciate that so much. Just a note about contributions to Mitten Tree are gratefully accepted, that whatever's on there is going to be taken off every week and given to donations to local schools, of which there is always a need. Just a reminder, no Sunday school for December 25th or on January the 1st. We always have a sharing Sunday on the last Sunday of the year. That last Sunday of this year is on Christmas Day. So we will do that instead on January 1st. That's Sunday morning. We'll meet downstairs, and we invite you to come for breakfast if you're able to. People have lined up, or some people are ready to prepare a breakfast for us at 9 o'clock, and that will be followed by a worship service, more informal service, downstairs on that particular Sunday. Are there any other announcements? During my childhood years, every year, we would get out the Advent calendar that my mother had made, and every day we would open a door. And every day there would be a picture or a verse pertaining to the Advent story. And it seemed so long till Christmas. So many doors to open. It would never come. And so in our despair, we had no choice but to wait. And interestingly enough, we instinctively knew that our waiting was not in vain, but a preparation for that which would inevitably come to pass. That final door, the big double doors in Christmas, would be opened wide to reveal a manger scene so profound in all of its radiant simplicity. Somehow, our waiting had instilled in us the hope that the remaking of everything had already begun. And every year, we weren't disappointed. Let's bow to pray. In a world so often held by the icy grip of darkness and continued despair, we await your light, O God. Come and illumine our path. Come, address the struggle. Come, rebuke the despair. Come, ignite the hope. Quicken the heart and renew the mind. Amen.
As Rudy already said, we've come from lots of different experiences during this week. It's good to be here and to gather here. And we've done things that have worked out really well, and we'd probably consider successes, different things that have gone well, and or God answered a prayer, or there's also things maybe we've not been that proud of. We are here because God loves us and loved us first. We're here because we are loved. Jesus came, he saved our day. In Psalm 92, we read this, and we'll sing this in just a moment. It is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High, to proclaim your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night, to the music of the 10-stringed lyre and the melody of the harp. For you make me glad by your deeds, O Lord. I sing for joy at the works of your hands. When you hear Christmas carols, different things come to mind, right? For some, hearing a Christmas song just means, man, I have a lot on my list yet. For somebody else, hearing Silent Night means, I don't know what I'm making for Christmas Eve yet. And so those Christmas songs can just, we can even think, oh, this sounds really nice. But I was reminding, we were talking this week about just the freshness of the ideas and remembering that this is God who sent his son to be a person because we needed it. So as we sing first, O come Emmanuel, the first prediction, prophecy in Isaiah 9 that we heard, that'll be the first song. And the next one, reviewing in our mind while shepherds watch their flocks at night, reviewing that story. Maybe it's the first time you've kind of reread that whole story. And with the third one, angels we have heard on high, we're sitting there with the angels singing and the shepherds wondering what's going on, and their response, the hearing the angels. Let's remember and think about these words. This is amazing. Let's just start a cappella. It is good to praise the Lord. It is good to praise the Lord. It is good to gaze upon His majesty, to proclaim His love in the morning and His faithfulness at night. Oh, it is good to worship and praise the Lord. Let's stand. It is good to praise the Lord. It is good to gaze upon His majesty, to proclaim His love in the morning and His faithfulness at night. Oh, it is good to worship and praise the Lord. 115 in your hymnal, if you want to look there or on. This is the first prophecy. Here's the story.
Thank you.
this is what their song was. 127 are on the screen. Saying,
I'd like to invite the ushers for this morning's offering. And Taylor, would you come and... No? No. Okay, sorry. I'm not going to play either. So, she's been replaced, apparently, Luke says. Good, good.
The message of hope and peace continues to come from the words of Isaiah the prophet. It was a message he never saw fulfilled. However, his was a grand vision of a future time when out of the seemingly forgotten and dried up family tree of Jesse, a shoot and a branch would grow from its roots. A spirit of wisdom, understanding, counsel and might, knowledge and fear of the Lord would govern his reign. Instead of destruction and competition, there will be cooperation, creativity, and a peaceable kingdom. He will provide hope for the nations and a peace characterized by no fear, restored relationships and harmony. Even the wolf will live with the lamb, and the leopard will lie down with the goat. A young child will put his hand into the viper's nest. There will be no harm or destruction, for the earth will be full of knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Let us pray. O Lord, in the midst of turmoil and lack of peace, our world longs for something more. Your prophet of long ago envisioned a whole new reality of possibility. May the vision continue to sustain us on our journey, knowing that your fulfillment is never a question. Amen.
Let us pray. O God of Advent, when the time was fulfilled, you came. When everything was ready, you arrived on the scene. Literally. Not many noticed you as a tiny babe, a quiet offering. Heaven to earth come down. Forgive our indifference when we don't notice. When we fail to pay attention to your prompting, the tracing of your finger across the landscape of our lives. Thank you that you offer grace and mercy to cover our shortcomings. We thank you for the good news that Tenley has received, for her blood count that has rebounded, has allowed her to come out of isolation. Thank you that your wellspring of resources is not easily drained. Thank you for Mark Miller's opportunity to go home and for his continued recovery, we pray, for healing from pain and discomfort. For those for whom this season is difficult and for whatever reason, would you also guard and keep those people in your care? Would the light of your continued presence also illumine some corner of their lives with a sense of hope, renewed energy, and direction? Would you also guard and keep us as a church community as we seek to do your will? Strengthen our resolve to seek your face, to search the scriptures, to hear your voice. Thank you for our deacons, for their dedication and commitment to this ministry. And as we seek to fill additional positions, would you help us discern? Show us the way. Thank you for preparing our hearts. Amen. I'd like to draw your attention to the insert. And if you would turn in that page to where there's an outline of our deacon ministry on the middle, on the inside. I'd like to go over some of that just to clarify what this is about. We mentioned in last week's bulletin that we as a congregation have been blessed by the ministry of many dedicated and caring deacons. It continues to be an important ministry in the life of our congregation, even though much of the work is done behind the scenes. We seek to uphold one another in prayer, encourage each other, comfort and challenge each other so that the body of Christ may be built up. Just to go through what the expectations, we are asking that deacons assist the ministerial with the spiritual care of the congregation. This would include visitation of the elderly, visitation of those struggling with health issues either at home, the hospital, or personal care home. Deacons would meet with the pastor to support and encourage each other, pray and make suggestions regarding special needs, financial, spiritual, personal, which members may be experiencing. Deacons would participate in meetings with the ministerial council as needed and would assist with communion services as requested. Those currently serving as deacons are Jake and Agatha Falk, Ray and Charlotte Clausen, Henry and Sarah Fraze. Jake and Agatha Falk have served two consecutive three-year terms, are not eligible for re-election. We would like to regain a full complement of deacons, which would include five positions. Thus, for this year, we're looking to fill three positions, one for a two-year term and two for three-year terms. I'd just like to clarify on that in terms of suggesting again, just to clarify, Jake and Agatha Falk are not eligible for re-election for this year. But also, if we're looking for three positions, that means that if you write down the name of a couple, that would be considered one position. If you write down the name of a single person, that would be one position. If you write down three names of three couples, that's three positions, or any combination of single people or couples. As long as you consider three lines on the ballot, and you fill three lines with either a couple or with single people's names. I'd like to emphasize, too, that all members currently attending are eligible to nominate. Everybody is able to do that. And all members currently attending are eligible to be nominated. This is not something that's restricted for people of a certain age. All members are eligible to be nominated and as well to nominate others for this position. I'd like to take just a few moments to pass out the ballots and ask you to fill in three positions. If you don't have three positions, that's fine too. State what you have. It might be one, it might be two. If you have three, please by all means put down three positions for this item of nominations. Are there any questions? Does that clarify? I forgot to ask people to help me out. Could I get some people to help out pass these ballots? Once you have your paper, you can fill that out with three positions as we talked about before. Is anybody missing a ballot? Everybody got one? Once you're done, I would ask if you would pass those ballots to the center aisle. It makes it easier for us to pick them up. And we'll go ahead and do that. Pass them to the center or to wherever Walter is. He didn't hear me the first time. Have they all been handed in? Has anybody still got some? Oh, there's some more back there. Thank you so much for your participation in this. Yeah, set them down there, yeah, that's good. Viola has a children's story for this morning, and we invite the children to come and hear what she has prepared for you. Please, come.
Good morning. How are you today?
Good.
Good. There's a special holiday coming up. Do you know what it is?
Christmas.
Are you excited?
Yeah.
Yeah. I've heard you're practicing for the Sunday school program this morning, and I'm waiting to hear it. But Christmas, what is Christmas?
Christmas is sharing.
Christmas is sharing. Why do we celebrate Christmas? Jesus was born, and we celebrate his birthday that day. And that was God's gift to all of us. And gifts are exciting. And God's gifts are free. And I'd like to talk about a rose bush and a snail today. And you're thinking, what does that have to do with gifts? Well, the rose bush and the snail live together in a corner of the garden. Now, the rose bush was happy. He enjoyed God's gift of fresh air, sunshine, and rain, and in return, he gave gifts of beautiful roses to people, and it made the people happy. So he was sharing God's gifts with others. Now, the snail was different than the rose bush. He hid under the rose bush. He liked to stay where it was dark and nobody could see him. And when people came, he just crawled under the bush some more into his shell. He didn't want to share anything. One day, the snail looked up at the rose bush and he said, "You are foolish for always giving people your roses." The rose bush smiled back and said, "How can I help giving things that God has given to me? God's children are always receiving his gifts of love, too. We get his forgiveness. When we do something wrong and we ask God, he forgives us. and he gives us his loving care and food. So God's children can share with others God's love, and especially the story of Jesus. Remember in Matthew chapter 10, Jesus said, "Freely you have received, freely give." Do we have something we can give to others? Maybe we can't go buy presents, but maybe we could give someone a hug or a smile just to make them happy. Can we remember that this Christmas season especially, and maybe after that too? Let's bow for a word of prayer. Dear Jesus, we thank you for giving us your love and blessings freely every day. Help us to share them by giving them freely to others. Amen.
So here's a song that Jake requested as we're to get our minds going on things that he's going to be talking about. I think God's been putting some exciting things on your heart for this morning. And so here's a start to some of those thoughts. What a day that will be. Let's stand. I don't think we can imagine what a day.
Could you turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5? First Thessalonians chapter 5, and I'll be reading the first 11 verses. Now, brothers, about the times and dates, we do not need to write you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come upon them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers, are not in the darkness so that the day will surprise you like a thief. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing.
Let's bow for a word of prayer before we start. Lord God, may the words of my mouth be pleasing in your sight. May you be glorified. Amen. As you can see in your bulletin, the title is Waiting, a Never Popular Concept. As I was preparing for this and trying to figure out, okay, what am I going to be speaking on, this word came to mind, wait, waiting. And it's in this Advent season. That's a word that is quite out there, waiting. So then I said, ask God, so what is it about? And he said, wait. And I said, I don't do that very well. I need to have it now. Nobody says the theme is waiting, so let's just wait. So I had to sit with it for quite a while, and even this last week I struggled with it. I really struggled with it to see where is he going with this in me, and what is he wanting out of me for this? So I trust that this is his words. Walter, I'm going to pick on you a little bit here. If I were to put a nice big Christmas shiny Christmas wrap box underneath the tree here with you, and say it's your name on it right now, where would your thoughts be for the next 20 minutes?
What did you get?
You're waiting. Now there's an expectation in it, right? I remember as a kid growing up, and we were fairly poor growing up. Our tradition at home for Christmas Day was Christmas morning was Christmas morning. We did not open gifts. We did not look at Christmas gifts before Christmas Day. We didn't know this thing about stockings hanging anywhere, so we had bowls lined up. This was our Christmas tradition as we grew up. And I don't know what time we would have chased ourselves out of bed on Christmas Day in the morning. It didn't matter. We were there like way before dawn, anticipating. It was just an exciting time of year that you could hardly wait. And I think if we would do a poll of our kids, we might still well be in that time frame. We can hardly wait. And like Rudy opened, I so appreciated that. We flip open these little leaves on those calendars, and we just, like, the clock doesn't actually even seem to move. Like, it's stopped. Like, is it really working? And we shake it, and this thing isn't working. We wait. Waiting has to be one of the most unpopular, unacceptable words in today's society, and maybe ever. We do not like to wait. How many of you have ever been told, don't shake that gift? It's for Christmas, it's for your birthday. I see a few nods. It's not easy. We wait for that special uncle and aunt to come home for Christmas, or to go to grandma and grandpa's for Christmas, and the list goes on. We impatiently wait. We also wait for that special someone to enter our lives. Some of us have been there, some of us are still getting there. But it's an anticipatory wait. We wait for the baby to arrive. We have an employee at the farm, and they're expecting their first child in about 3 weeks. And they are anticipating, and they are excited, and it is so good to see. It is so good to see that excitement, that anticipation. Or you wait for that new house to be ready. We just did that a few weeks ago. We moved into our new house. How many of you waited for your 16th birthday? Heidi, this is for you. Till you finally can get your driver's license. We wait for that. We want to have that independence. We like to have a good set of wheels, right? We wait for that first car. We wait for our motorcycle. Or we wait for that truck. Or you name it, right? We wait for the first snowfall. We wait for summer. We wait for the snow to be gone. We wait for that holiday or that camping trip. This kind of waiting is filled with anticipation. And we all have them. Like it's off to the racetrack, or it's off to the campground, or it's off to the nearest lake where the fish will be biting, or it's off to the golf course, and we wait, and we wait, and we can hardly wait for that. I get to spend time with a good friend of mine that day. I'm waiting for that. In the midst of all that, we can hardly wait, is a common phrase. This is a joyful, exuberant kind of waiting that excites us and fills us with longing. You wake up and finally the day is there. You bolt out of bed. You're so ready for it. Sometimes, though, waiting can be less fun. We're waiting for the blood counts to go up. That's not an exciting kind of wait. We're waiting for a doctor's report, and we kind of dread, what is that going to say? Waiting isn't fun then. We wait for somebody to get out of the way once, not to irritate us. Shopping lineups don't interest us. Traffic jams irritate us. This is a very different kind of waiting. It's almost like it's a necessary evil. Just hounding us, just hovering over us, just wanting to grab you. Ever waited for the marks of an exam when you were, I'm sure I did poorly on that. Oof. Or an essay? None of these are fun. The right word might be, well, dreading them, that kind of waiting. We like instant. We do not like wait. Instant puddings, microwaves are a good thing. Instant oatmeal. Internet, I've never ever heard anybody say that internet is too fast. Never. Speed limits, always too slow. This 30 speed limit thing, things at school zones, they bug me. I just don't do them that well. Paychecks never come too soon. Neither does that pay raise. Communication has to be instant. If I want to talk to my brother in Belize, it's FaceTime, like right now, or a text. And if I text somebody and they don't respond within 20 minutes, then, like, what's with them? Like, let's get on it already. We don't do waiting so well, do we? We have quite a bit of things to wait for, and I've asked Jordy and Kenley both to give us some concept and some of their thoughts on waiting. Would you guys come up and please share with us?
Over the years, you hear all of these stories from people that have lost grandparents or parents or loved ones of other forms, and you always hear, oh, they influenced my way, this led my life this way. They always taught me this, or they told you that, the lessons that they teach you that they continue on after they've passed. Isn't it the same with God? He teaches you a lesson when you're 13, 50, whatever. And it continues. It stays in your life. And it's, the Bible verse says, let me hide your verse in my heart so that I may not sin against you. That's not just tomorrow, next week. That's 30 years from now, 40 years from now, 50 years from now. Psalm 73, verse 24 says, "You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you lead me into glory." I believe that counsel doesn't always have to be instant. God doesn't need to micromanage your life. If you're saying, I was in a situation when I came home from Cape and Rain, I was like, do I go to work? Do I go to university for ag? Do I do something else? I don't know. What do I want to do? I asked God, what do you want me to do? No answer. And I was like, it's frustrating. I want God to micromanage my life. I want to be able to sit back and say, I don't need to make these decisions. God will do that for me. I'll just follow along. I'm just going to follow the leader. It doesn't always work that way. And I've learned that the hard way. Sometimes you just need to be able to walk with him and make the decisions as they come along, even if you don't have a clear answer from God what needs to happen. If you need to go road A or road B, you just need to walk with him and trust that he'll be able to use you wherever you're going.
I'm not sure which direction this is going to go, so I'm just going to go. There are many types of waiting. There is waiting for something to begin, waiting for a new point of life to start. There's a very, very big difference between the young lady waiting for her wedding day and her father waiting for that wedding day. There's a very big difference. There's a big difference between that student waiting to graduate and that person just waiting for that job interview. There are many, many types. Some things we wait to start. Some things we just can't wait for them to end. But despite the vast, vast array of different types of waiting, there's one thing that they all have in common, and that is the concept of wait is fundamentally cannot help. It can't help but to be based and focused on the future. You can't wait for something that has already happened. You can't wait for something that is happening. To wait is to look forward and to focus on what is coming. The hard part is often, what do I do right now? What do I do in the meantime? How do I wait? What do we wait passively? Do we wait actively? Do we work while we wait? If you're my dad, do we wait aggressively? Christianity is all about waiting. Before that, Judaism, the works of the Jews, they're all about waiting. They're waiting for their Messiah to come. They're waiting to get into their Holy Land for 40 years. And we've inherited that. We have Advent. We wait for the birth of Jesus. We wait for Easter. Lent is a time of waiting. Advent is a time of waiting. We're all about this waiting for God. But waiting does not mean that you are sitting still. One great example of this is in Jeremiah 29. The Jews have just gone into exile into Babylon, and Jeremiah the prophet sends them a letter that says, you're going to be there a while. The Lord says, I'm reading from Jeremiah 29, starting at verse 4, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down, plant gardens and eat what they produce, marry and have sons and daughters, find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. You know you're going to be there a while when God says, while you're waiting, make grandchildren. But notice that God does not say, wait for me to come. He tells, I'll be there. It'll probably be about 70 years, but I'll come. But while you're waiting, live your life. We cannot wait for God. You can't just sit in your pew and wait for Him. I've waited for things to happen for a very long time. I often wait for God to, what do I do, God? Right? Live your life. God doesn't always keep us moving. He just directs us in the direction that He wants us to go.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate that. So while we get out of our pews there, as Jordy so well put it, could it be that we also want our relationships to be fast? As I alluded to earlier, internet speeds are never too fast, and texting and FaceTime, everything is supposed to be now. Could it be that we also desire our relationships to be that way? Unless you didn't know that, relationships don't work that way. And Walter alluded to that in Sunday school. We need to spend energy and time developing relationships. They do not come instantly. And neither does my relationship with God. If I wonder what it would look like if I were to ask for a show of hands this morning, how many of us start the week with the best of intentions about praying for the people listed in our bulletins, only to find yourself be sidetracked by Wednesday? I won't ask for a show of hands, but I am as guilty as they come on that. Could it be that we've prayed about this like 3 times already, God, and you still haven't answered? And then we kind of shrug our shoulders and we kind of, next Sunday we're reminded, I was going to do that, right? And then, God, I'm reminded of Tenley or Ryan or Murray and Carol or you fill in the blanks, and then we're off again, only by Wednesday we're sidetracked again. So if we could just ask God to micromanage, as Kenley said, which career should I choose? Should I retire already? Should I quit jobs? Should I switch jobs? Should I... what? But then I wonder what kind of character would that develop in us? James 1 is one of my favorite books, or my favorite passages of the Bible. I had my Sunday school kids memorize it years ago for an apprise. We went to High Lake for a fishing weekend, for those who memorized it. And we had a blast. I still remember that weekend. It was so much fun. And that passage has stuck with me ever since. But what does James 1 say? When you get to be tired, when there's trials and temptations, just avoid them like a plague. Just run from them, right? Not exactly. He says, trials and testings come so that your faith may be proved genuine. And it develops perseverance in you. How many of you would like to be sure of yourselves when testing will come? And it will come. I want to be sure of myself. I want to be sure of my faith in God. I don't want my relationship to be something that is casual and occasional and shallow. I don't want to be a pushover. When those theological deep questions arise, is our faith in God going to carry us through? Do we have the patience of Job or Abraham? Do we wait like they did? Jesus himself, when did he start his ministry? He was 30 before he started his ministry. Couldn't he have started it sooner? Wasn't there something that he could have done sooner? In our text that Kathy read for us, our text says that for Christ's return, that waiting for Christ's return is to create in us an alertness, an awareness. It is to create in us self-control, faith, love, hope. We need to encourage each other. We need to build each other up. We are to spend energy waiting. It's not sitting down and waiting for something to happen. It's spending your energy waiting for it to happen. Waiting is not something we do sitting down. We don't sit back and relax waiting for Jesus to come back. Paul says we are not to waste our time trying to figure out the day or the time. That's not for us to know. We are supposed to be actively waiting. The story in Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 to 13, is where Jesus talks about these 10 young virgins with their oil lamps, waiting for the bridegroom to come. And they waited, and they waited some more, and it got dark, and the oil burnt out, and they got tired, and they fell asleep. How active were they waiting? Do you fall asleep while you're actively waiting on the job you're given her? Are we waiting with anticipation or boredom or dread? It hasn't happened yet, so what's the use? Do we look out the window first thing in the morning to see whether this could be the day that Jesus could come back? Like we check the morning forecast? How many of you would check the morning forecast first thing in the morning? What's this day going to be like? Guilty. Hebrews 10 verses 19 to 25. I want to read those verses for you. Hebrews 10, 19 to 25. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. We have been cleansed and are invited to draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith. We meet and wait together during this Advent season with great anticipation. We want to open that box. We want to shake it. We want to rattle it just to see what's like. Christmas music fills the air. Baking aromas tempt us. Family gatherings are occasions to eat way too much, and we can hardly wait till the next one comes around when we can do it all over again. Can we also wait with that same anticipation for his second coming, encouraging each other, spurring each other on toward faith and good deeds? Amen.
Given those words that we've just been given, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful, that soon he is coming. Let's stand and sing that. Let's give her.
As a benediction, I want to read two verses out of Psalm chapter 32. Would you bow with me? I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing, all you who are upright in heart. Amen.